Well, a happy new year to each one of you. God richly bless you. The new year usually comes with New Year's resolutions. We all make them. Though one man said, my wife still hasn't told me what my New Year's resolutions are. I recently read an article that listed the five most popular New Year's resolutions made almost every year. Number five is, I'm going to take up a new hobby. Number four is, I'm going to make more money this year. Number three is, I'm going to improve relationships. And number two is, for some, I'm going to stop smoking. And the most popular New Year's resolution, and you guessed it, is losing weight. In my case, whenever I determine to do that, it always ends up the exact opposite. So I'm going to try something new this year. I'm going to eat more and exercise less, and hopefully it will have the opposite effect, right? I just hope it doesn't backfire on me. A woman walked into her bathroom at home. As she did, she saw a husband weighing himself on the bathroom scale, sucking in his stomach. And she thought to herself, he thinks that he will weigh less by sucking in his stomach. So she rather sarcastically said to her husband, that's not going to help. And he said, it sure will. That's the only way I can see the numbers. Dieting, none of us like that word, dieting. It's hard because most people think a well-balanced diet is a donut in each hand. And so we are, friends, on the first day, on the first Sunday of 2023. And I wonder how we will do this year. Will we be busy? Will we make any better use of our time in 364 days from tomorrow when the year is over? Will we be looking back with joy or with sadness or with regret? At this time of the year, we often make great promises to ourselves about what we are going to do in the new year, and then we usually abandon them shortly afterwards. But this morning, however, I want to talk about some resolutions, or better yet, some commitments. Listen, some commitments which will make a radical difference in our lives if we will follow through with them. Here is what I want to suggest, friends. If we will make these commitments that God in His Word encourages us to make, year 2023 could be one of the most significant years in our lives. And I want to suggest four commitments. Number one is this, friends. Commit yourself to forget your failures. Commit yourself to forget your failures. 2,000 years ago, Paul gave this advice in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This advice from God's word has stood the test of time. I don't know of any more relevant or practical advice for us at this time. God doesn't want us to live our lives imprisoned by our past. All of us have failed in some way in our lives. And probably we won't see our failures recorded for history on TV. but they are certainly recorded in our hearts and minds. For many of us, failures are painful memories. Maybe for you, it's a memory how you failed in a relationship. Perhaps you have made a wrong decision, said and did some wrong things, and your life has never been the same. For some, you know you have failed your children in some way. Others, you have failed your parents. You have failed your parents. And it's more likely that for many of us that we failed ourselves. What God's word is saying to you and I this morning, friends, is that we must not allow ourselves to be bogged down by our past failures, that we must not dwell on the past, that we must let go of things that stop us moving forward into the future that God has for us. I think that the start of the new year is a good time to rise to that challenge, to say to yourself, I am going to, with the help of God, forget my past. I'm going to stop torturing myself about what I did or didn't do. This New Year's Day, friends, is a good time to stop being chained by past failures. God is saying that He doesn't want us to go through life branding ourselves as failures. On the cross, Jesus died so that He could forgive us. And when we become Christians, forgiveness becomes a reality in our lives. When we receive Christ's forgiveness, it always allows us to forgive ourselves and to forget our failures. Secondly, commit yourself to give up your grudges. Amen. Commit yourself to give up your grudges. In Colossians, we see the second challenge God wants us to rise up to. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Did you catch that challenge, friends? God is challenging us directly and personally to give up our grudges. That is what He means when He says, forgive each other whatever grievances you may have against one another. What is a grudge? A grudge is a deep, ongoing resentment that we cultivate in our hearts against someone else. A grudge is an unforgiving spirit which leads to an unforgiving attitude and to unforgiving actions. Harboring a grudge, friends, is about nursing a dislike for someone else. You know, a pastor friend said something to me. He told me that he had been hurt too much by the people of his church, so he quit being a pastor. And he said in a joke, he said, but don't get me wrong, Keith. I love ministry. It's people I can't stand. Friends, grudges are dangerous because they are destructive. Grudges destroy marriages. Grudges break up families. Grudges ruin friendships. Grudges split churches. Grudges are most of all self-destructive. When you hold a grudge against someone, you will hurt yourself as much or perhaps even more than you will hurt the person you are holding it against. One of the scandals of a church and a disgrace to the Holy Spirit are the grudges that Christians hold against other Christians. Yeah. today, if by chance you are holding a grudge, and I, you're not, you're awesome. You don't have grudges. But if by chance you are holding a grudge against someone, God has this to say to you. My dearly loved child, give it up. Yes. Give it up. Let it go. You know, a while back in the USA, there was a tragic example of just how destructive grudges are. A man received a parcel, but it was a parcel bomb that went off and killed him. And then a week later, a couple committed suicide. It turned out those were linked. It turned out that the couple who committed suicide had sent the parcel bomb. Because of a grudge that they had against the intended victim that stretched all the way back to high school. Ultimately, the couple's grudge destroyed their own lives. Make no mistake about it, friends. If you keep harboring a grudge, then it will eventually destroy you, if not physically, certainly emotionally and spiritually. It will make you a bitter person. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told about the servant who was forgiven a huge debt by the king and then turned around and refused to forgive someone else for a tiny amount? You know what Jesus said? His unforgiving spirit landed him in prison. Max Lucado makes this interesting comment in one of his books. He says, unforgiving servants always end up in prison. And these are prisons of anger, guilt, and depression. God says to you in his word, don't sentence yourself to prison. Set yourself free. Give up your grudge. Forgive each other, as the scripture says, whatever grievances you may have against one another. According to God's word, the way to give up a grudge is to forgive. Notice what God is saying. He isn't asking you to ignore whatever the person has done to you. He isn't asking you to pretend it didn't happen, or to pretend it didn't matter, or to pretend it didn't hurt you. God is not asking you to do that. What he asks you to do is forgive the grievance. That means to not only acknowledge how wrong and painful what was done to you was, but to decide to forgive the person who did wrong to you. Some of you, listen friends, you need to forgive the grievance you have against your parents for what they did or didn't do. Some of you need to forgive your children for the same reason. Some of you need to forgive your spouse for the emotional and physical abuse. Some of you need to forgive a grudge against someone at work because of the way they treated you. Some of you need to give up a grudge that stems from an argument you had with somebody else. Some of you probably need to give up a grudge you have against other people in this congregation. Say what? Yes. We are just ordinary people. We are sinners saved by grace. And God is saying, you know what? That person who gets on your nerves in the church, forgive them. They too are also my child. God says that the deep-seated resentment you have against that person has to go. And what better time, friends, eh? To make a difficult decision to forgive than at the start of a new year. Amen. 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 Thirdly, commit yourself to restore relationships. Commit yourself to restore relationships. You know, my computer pops up a little window on the screen that asks if I want to run a check to see if my programs are working properly. God, in His words, issues a similar invitation. But it's not an invitation to check if my computer software is running properly, but to check if my personal relationships are running properly. And yeah, how the Lord issues the challenge. Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. You notice the important phrase, as far as it depends on you. By using this phrase, God is personally challenging each one of us to do everything we can to restore a relationship that has gone wrong in our lives. Some relationships that have gone wrong in our lives are because the other person does not want that relationship restored. Look, they don't want it. And God recognizes that. He knows you've tried. And that's why He starts by saying, if it is possible, if it is possible. But let's be honest, friends, that some of our relationships have gone wrong because of what we have done. When God says, when His word says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, the word of God is saying that we might, if we have caused a rift in a relationship, a rift in the relationship, then we have the responsibility to restore that relationship. That everything includes the one thing we all probably find most difficult, and that is asking for forgiveness. Am I the only person who finds it hardest to say those three words, that sentences? You know, I was wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me to the people closest to me. If you think, you know what, Keith? Yes, you are the only one who has a hard time with those things. Then let me add one more three-word sentence. I doubt it. Let's keep it real. Maybe God is saying to some of us at the beginning of this new year that it's the right time to restore that relationship by going and sincerely saying sorry for those angry words and those selfish actions. Make no mistake, friends, it's hard to do. It's hard. But it will be one of the most significant things that you can do to mark the new year. Lastly, commit yourself to turn your back on your sin. It is told that after the American Civil War, when it was over, the slaves had been set free. It is said that many slaves decided to stay with their former master and continue to do what they were told. They were set free, but they chose to live as slaves. Do you know the New Testament says that is exactly how many Christians choose to live? Christ died to set them free. The Holy Spirit has given the power to be free. And just like those former slaves in the USA, many still choose to obey their old master, sin. Listen to these words in Romans 6. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its sinful desires. We are no longer slaves to sin. That is the last channel challenge, I believe, will make this year truly significant for us. When God says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its sinful desires. He wants us to turn our backs on the sin. Do you know Christian writers used to talk about something called besetting sins? Remember that scripture? Besetting sins. Let's look at Hebrews 12 verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is before us. The New Century Version says, the sin that holds us back. King James says, the sin that so easily besets us. The New Living Translation says, the sin that trips us up. And the Message says, the parasitic sin. Friends, what they meant by besetting sins were particular sins that Christians are prone to doing time and time again. For most of us, when we got saved, we gave up certain sins easy. But there were other things we know are wrong that we truly battle with. And those, friends, are besetting sins. Many of us end up choosing to give in to our besetting sins and end up living double lives. Friends, perhaps you are constantly defeated by some old sin. You know, a man was getting married and he had a big growth on his neck. And he was asked, would he get that removed before the wedding? And he said, no, I've learned to live with it. And that sums up to many Christians' attitude towards besetting sins. They don't do anything about it. Why? Because they've learned to live with it. Friends, don't allow your spiritual life to be crippled because you have learned to live with a besetting sin. Perhaps your besetting sin is a quick temper that you constantly give into. Perhaps it's a sarcastic tongue that loves to assassinate other people's character or hurt their feelings. Or perhaps you've learned to live with that critical, judgmental attitude you know is wrong. Or perhaps you are quick to give people a piece of your mind. God in his word challenges us, friends, to turn our backs on sin, whatever it is. Stop letting it control the way we live. Stop giving in to it. God wants you to stop obeying your old master. Let's be clear about this, friends. Jesus' death broke the power of sin. The Holy Spirit can give us the power to resist sin. And all of that means that you don't have to go into this new year still being defeated by the same old sin. You can have victory over it, friends. God says you're no longer a slave to sin. So don't live like one or act like one. If you will ask God's forgiveness for your sin and his power to resist that sin, that this year can be for you not just a new era in history, but a new era in your spiritual lives. In conclusion, let's all rise to these challenges from God's word, making these commitments and so doing make a life-changing event. Will you commit yourself to forget your failures? Will you commit yourself to give up your grudges? Will you commit yourself to restore your relationships? Will you commit yourself to turn your back on sin? God is here today, friends, and He wants to help each one of us. Let's trust Him to do so. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, none of us have arrived in any in stretch of the imagination. We are your children. We are in need of help. And there are many people, Lord, who are hard on themselves. They're really hard on themselves. They condemn themselves. Help them, Lord, to, Lord, forget their failures. Some people make us hopping mad. Help us to forgive them, Lord. Because we are not perfect also. We make them mad. Because of situations, Lord God, just in life, everyday life, we fall in and out of relationships. And Lord, it's the way someone looks at us, now we're no more friends. Or what they said, we're no more friends. Help us, Lord. Sometimes our children get on our nerves. We don't want to talk to them again. Help us, Lord. And sometimes parents do the wrong thing, even though they're trying their best. Help us, Lord, to forgive. Restore those relationships. And then, Lord, every one of us, though we know the scriptures, we know the songs and so on, there are those besetting sins, those sins that ensnare us, those sins, Lord, that trap us, Lord. I pray that you would help us to let go of them, that you would forgive us of those sins that we go back to so often. We know what they are. Help us, Lord. Forgive us of those sins. And let us move forward in you this year. We pray for 2023 to be the best year ever in our spiritual lives. That, Lord, we will worship you, Lord. We will long for you, Lord. We will take every opportunity to worship you throughout the day, Lord. That, Lord, we will gather faithfully in the house of God to worship you and to serve you. That, Lord, we will study your word, Lord, so that we can be just like Jesus, Lord. And, Lord, that we will grab opportunities, Lord, to tell other people of your wonder-working power to save and restore, Lord. Help us as a church. Everyone, Lord. There's no one I can say, not him or her. Everyone, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Friends, we're going to come to the Lord's table. At this time, what a lovely time, the first Sunday of the year, the first day of the year that we can gather around the Lord's table. I have a scripture to read from Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." As we take or partake of the Lord's table this morning, what we are doing, friends, is we take a past look at the Lord's crucifixion. He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." We remember the work of Jesus on the cross and how he gave his body and blood for us. Then we take a present look at the Lord's covenant. This is a new covenant, he says. We have been set free by the blood of Jesus. Now we have a covenant with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We take a future look at the Lord's coming. Paul said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Jesus also said this in Matthew 26, verse 29. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Friends, both Jesus and Paul are pointing us to the future meal with God in heaven. We take now an inward look. We take a past look, present, future, inward now at our conscience. Paul speaks of not taking the Lord's supper in an unworthy manner. Let us examine ourselves. Amen.
Amen.